I'm here with Sue DiPietro, who's a fellow student of Mayor Schneider that we met several years ago now. And we all trained with Will. Sue and I all trained with Mayor Schneider. And you've gone on to practice some other vision techniques of your own and developed your own technique. Is that true?
Kind of. I developed a couple different exercises.
And you have astigmatism and myopia.
And I had presbyopia.
Oh, that's right. You did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gone.
It's gone. And you've reduced your myopia and your astigmatism.
Right.
And the reason I wanted to interview you was the fact that you used reduced prescription glasses as a way of doing this. And why don't you tell people why you chose that path rather than just getting rid of your glasses, putting them aside?
Because I get really good correction with my glasses. So I would want to, I would strain to see perfectly without my glasses, knowing what I could see with my glasses.
Right.
And so with the step downs, it took away that strain.
Right, and this is what we tell some people. Some people we say it's fine to just get rid of your glasses. And other people we say, well, if you're straining when you don't wear glasses, then we recommend doing the reduced prescription route, which is what you took.
Right. Yeah. And it seems to work. I think you have to play and figure out what works for you.
Right. So when you decided to do this and you took off your glasses, what did it feel like? What did the strain feel like? Did you furrow your brow? Did you feel headaches?
No, it was more mental, I noticed. Mm. Like, I would be, like, trying to see.
Right. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, so I wouldn't get headaches. I wouldn't get...
You weren't squinting.
I may have been, but I didn't notice.
Right.
But I just noticed it was like I was always trying, really trying to see 20/20 or perfectly for me.
Right.
And it's more a mental state.
Is it kind of like getting used to the blur? Is that part of it?
Part of it is being okay with a blur. Uh-huh. Part of it is being okay with not seeing detail.
Right.
Which I could see and I really missed seeing that. So then I would try to see the detail.
Right, and that became a strain, trying to see the detail.
Right, because you can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do that, but it doesn't work.
And some of us who have never seen that sharp of a detail, maybe it didn't bother me so much to just get rid of my glasses, given that I wasn't used to seeing sharp, sharp detail, like someone who had been corrected to 20/20.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was used to it. I knew it was possible.
Mm-hmm.
I had no incentive other than vanity to get rid of my glasses since they do give me good correction.
Right. And then you went out and found someone, right? Or a mayor told you about it.
Mayor told me about...
This Dr. Lee, right?
Yes.
Who's a very very unusual, older Chinese gentleman in Chinatown.
Oh, he's great.
He's very funny, yes. But he was willing to do it, right? He was willing to do the step-down prescription.
Yes.
And so how long have you been seeing him and how many pairs of glasses have you gone through?
It took several years and then it seems like it just kind of clicked in. And the past year and a half, 2 years, I've gone through one, two, three, I think 4 or 5 pairs now.
Right. And you've been going down about a quarter diopter or half a diopter per?
He takes it down to about 20/40.
Right. So he's reducing it each time.
Right.
And each time he reduces it, he corrects you to the 20/40 line rather than the 20/20 line.
Right. And about halfway through, he started working on the astigmatism about 2 pairs ago. So before he was working, I think, on the myopia.
First, yeah.
And for the presbyopia, they split your glasses.
Oh, right. The bifocal thing.
Right.
So initially, you got rid of the presbyopia.
Yeah, relatively. That was easy.
That was easy.
Relatively.
Right.
That was easy.
Right. And then you were just left with the myopia and the astigmatism.
Right.
And it sounds like he addressed the myopia first for some reason.
I think because the astigmatism's harder to get rid of. And his theory which not everybody holds, is that you're born with it, so therefore it's more difficult to address.
Right. So, yeah, and I think that a lot of vision therapy people believe astigmatism is harder to get rid of in general.
Right.
And that's been my experience, too. So.
Right.
So you're getting close now. You're down to, do you know where you're at now in terms of diopters? Yeah, I think.
He won't tell you.
He won't tell you, yeah. He's an unusual guy that way. But I've been with you on some of these appointments, and it seems like you're down pretty low. Let me look through your glasses. Let me just see where.
I can tell pretty well. I have a feeling my left eye is much worse than my right. I have a feeling my right is pretty close to 20/20.
I think you're close to 1.5 or ones in the, because those aren't that strong anymore.
No, I think the right eye, the left eye is still, I think, up there, maybe around a 2. But I think the right eye won't have any prescription next time I go back.
Yeah, I think you're very close to getting rid of your glasses.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to cover was your perspective on astigmatism. Because it's something that Will and I are approaching as well, and I've seen other vision people talking about, which is the idea that astigmatism might be related to your posture and muscular, the way your back is, the way your whole musculature is leading into astigmatism. And I've heard you say that you've seen a lot of improvement in your astigmatism from getting body work, getting massage.
Yeah.
Rather than
I exercise
for astigmatism. Yeah.
I don't know. The myopia seems to have started really improving when I started getting more body work.
Mm-hmm.
And recently it just seems like when I started seeing real improvements in my posture is when I started seeing real improvements in my eyesight.
Yeah. So do you know which part of your eyesight, the myopia, the astigmatism, or is it hard to tell maybe?
It's hard to tell, and it may be, I mean, at first he was just correcting for the myopia, so I saw real improvements there.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it did help the myopia, but it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
It
is hard to differentiate.
Yeah, and now sometimes I can kind of tell because myopia is getting better, so I can see the astigmatism more.
Right.
So it's easier for me to tell, but it's
that's
mixed.
Just for our listeners, it's one of those things if the myopia is strong enough, you have enough myopia, it's hard to see the double vision of the astigmatism, right? And as your myopia
because
it's blurred. And then as your myopia gets better, you start to pick up on the astigmatism, which being around you over these years, I've seen you start to pick up on, yeah.
Right. And you think you're getting worse, but it's actually progress.
It's actually progress,
in a weird way.
And then I know you've invented some, we have some astigmatism exercises on the website, some of which we got from Mayer. But you've kind of played with some ones, right? Can you kind of just tell me what you've been doing? I know you've been sort of playing with different versions of the exercise.
Two things that have helped me is closing or patching one eye and going very slowly so you can see your eye orbit, like the eye socket. As you go around very slowly so you don't skip parts doing eye circles.
Right. We call those eye rotations, yeah.
Yeah, but very slowly so you see where you want to skip.
Right. Yeah, when there's a little rough spot or you want to skip over that area.
Right,
yeah.
Or it goes real fast or maybe on a little bit of a diagonal.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like where on the clock face, essentially, you're skipping over or...
Right, and not allowing yourself to skip over.
Right.
Making the eye go around those. And if you do the circles too fast, you'll skip over them and you won't know it.
Right. Exactly. I know exactly what you're saying.
Right. You won't be aware of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one is actually kind of going lines back and forth. Like if I see let's say on the eye chart, a line of print, sometimes just going, or on a tree, it's not necessarily tracing, but just kind of going back and forth, diagonals on the line.
And is that similarly, you're trying to control the smoothness of your scanning?
I don't know if it's trying to control. It's just, I suppose, so, it's just going back and forth, and it's not trying to read, like, each letter or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, letting the eye go back and
scanning.
Forth over the letters.
Yeah.
Not necessarily registering the letter.
Right.
And sometimes going diagonal lines
and
with the eye.
And you'll see improvement in your stigmatism right after doing this, right? So yeah. You know that it actually works.
Yeah. And the other thing that seems to really work is looking, and I've done this more with letters because you need something. I haven't tried it without something to focus on, so I don't know if it worked. Looking at a letter and then just doing like a little tiny, small, targeted circle around it.
Yeah, a little microcircle around the letter, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, not around the letter, like on the letter.
Okay, sort of tracing the outer edges of the letter.
Or the center of the letter.
Oh, okay.
Not even the outer edges of the letter. Just mm-hmm. kind of this, just like this, kind of the center. The outer edges are almost too big. It's just like, it's like the bullseye on a target. You're just tracing kind of the bullseye. If the letter's the whole kind of target, mm-hmm. you're just kind of tracing a bullseye.
Yeah, I've talked about this before with you, and my theory is that you're engaging the muscles that control both the extraocular muscles, the ones that control the gross movement of the eyeball, and the sort of the saccadic, the small movements of the eye.
I know, we've talked about it. No clue why it works.
Yeah.
I have just found it works.
My guess is that by doing that, where you're using the eye in a more natural way, and that my theory is the astigmatism is an unnatural malformation of the cornea, and by engaging in the sort of a more natural use of the eye, somehow it snaps into
place.
Into place.
Yeah.
We don't quite understand that.
No clue.
And maybe my theory on the whole postural thing, maybe for astigmatism, is that the whole musculature of your body ultimately affects your eyes as well.
Especially myopia. I had that, what did they call it, the myopic stare?
Myopic posture, yeah.
Where your head's forward and, And I notice now it's like the musculature, especially my more compromised eye, will kind of change sometimes. So, yeah. The only thing after doing those little circle exercises, when you open your other eye, sometimes I'll see double, it's like they won't focus together.
So you're doing these little circles, you're doing the big circles and the tracing and the little circles with one eye patch. Let's remember
yes.
that part. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you switch to the other eye and do the same thing if you need to.
And sometimes it'll take a while for the two eyes to be able to fuse.
To fuse again.
And I think it's because, one reason I really think it's musculature too, is I think the one eye, when it can see well, then it's like it can't use the it's using the one set of muscles to be able to focus with the single eye, and then the muscles to fuse.
Right. Different muscle-brain connection to do two at once as opposed to one at once.
And to keep the
astigmatism
piece corrected. Yeah,
it just messes with you a little bit to use one eye and to see the astigmatism corrected and then to bring both eyes together.
Right. Definitely. And sometimes I'll also close my eyes, imagine what's there, and then open them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes after doing the little circles and closing my eye and opening them, sometimes it'll be worse, but sometimes it'll be like that instant of clarity.
Right, the flash of clarity.
Mm-hmm. And they will. My eyes will get very tired doing this, so then I'll do sometimes a little palming or look in the distance just...
To relax it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, you're doing less eye exercises, doing more body work, doing these sort of astigmatism inventions that you've come up with, which we actually like to encourage people to do. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't have to follow a formula. You can, and for you, you can actually see the astigmatism going away. So it obviously works
You. Yeah. And the nearsight is going away because I know when I try to walk, the heat's been horrible. Not every day, but when I do walk generally without my glasses.
Right.
So I'm getting some distance and non-glasses time. And there's one house in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And with my better eye, I can now see a lot of detail in the windows. It has all these different little windows. And with my more compromised eye, I can now see, I believe, as well or better than I could see with my good eye.
Okay.
When I first started noticing improvements. So that kind of pulls you in, too. And I'm noticing, it looks blurry with my more compromised eye, but it's really better than what I started out with.
Right. And the other eye, yeah.
Or the other eye.
Well, I guess,
and
yeah.
And I will walk with the obstruction glasses a lot because
right, okay.
Otherwise I know my weaker eye, my stronger eye is just going to take over.
All right. Well, I keep thinking you weren't doing eye exercises, and now as you describe all this, you're doing the obstruction. You're actually doing distance looking, but you've integrated it into your morning walk.
Right.
I know you go out in the countryside and walk around your house.
Yeah.
So you've integrated it into that exercise of walking. You're now doing distance looking. And your obstruction, right. And you do the astigmatism exercises kind of in the flow of...
Right, but I'm not real consistent with the obstruction glasses, and I
right.
don't always walk, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I...
Yeah, and then you do the step-down prescription over a span of maybe 3-4 years now, then.
Right, and I'd yeah. say it's really making a difference over a space of about 2 years.
Year and a half, yeah.
Sorry, my time sense.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So
and it does work.
And it does work, yeah. So we wanted to actually have somebody besides Will and us tell people it works and to see how they've sort of altered the exercises to fit their lifestyle and integrated into how they really live their life and to be realistic about,
yeah.
you know, how you can use them. So,
yeah.
The only other thing I wanted to say is if Sue is a practitioner of the Meir Schneider self-healing method in San Jose, California, so if anyone wants to get a hold of Sue, you can contact us through the website and we'll put you in touch with her. So she's available.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks, Sue. And
my pleasure.
All right.